Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday afternoon, and we're excited to be on the air. Your hosts for today's show are Robert Brining and Jack McEnroe. They will be taking your calls and speaking out on the topic of the week. You're encouraged to call in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. That's 347-215-9442. Welcome to PosIM Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to PosIM Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jack McEnroe. Jack, how are you today, man?
Hey, man, I'm man on the street today. I'm, like, roaming the streets of Chicago.
Yeah, so I can hear it.
Well, I tried to find a quiet place, but it's not happening. So if you hear honking, I'm not getting run over. I'm just on the street.
So it's like Jesse, when we interviewed Jesse, he was in the car the whole time driving.
I thought that was so hilarious. He's like, oh, my God, I'm going to get killed. So, yeah, let me plug something really quick. I'm actually here for a reason. Tomorrow night, I am going to an event called Make a Statement Designed for the Cure, and it's tomorrow, May 7th at 7 p.m., and I'm in Chicago, so it's middle time or Middle Eastern time or whatever the hell time it is, and it's at the River East Art Center, and you can buy tickets still if you go to agechicago.org. So there's like a fashion show, and I think some drag queen radio host is hosting, and so it should be fun.
And what are you doing there? Just going to hang out?
Yeah, I think I'm actually giving a 3-minute little speech on living positive by design and just saying hi and maybe sharing part of my story or saying thank you to everyone there or something. You know,
cool.
And pony show, the usual.
Yeah. Right. Well, I just want to mention today we have Sean Henderson on, who is the moderator of the DC Young Pod Social, which is a social group. Let me just read a little bit about it here right off his website. The DC Young Pod Socials is an informal social group geared for Washington, D.C. area HIV-positive guys in their 20s and 30s. They have activities that include parties, picnics, sporting events, hiking, theater outings, and then other recreational social events. They do not discriminate on the basis of age. Wow. So they never check IDs or anything like that.
Just ignore.
Young at heart is important. So it's a group that is sort of a sister or brother group to SIN, but they're located in D.C., so I'm kind of interested to learn about, you know, how he got started and all that, because it's those grassroots organizations that are started by, you know, people individually like, you know, him and the founder. I don't know the exact name of the founder, but it's those kind of grassroots organizations that are making a difference in the world today, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think it's great, which... Ironically, I literally aged out of the 30s 5 days ago. I'm like no longer can be a part of the group. I'm like, summer.
No. They said you can be young at heart. They don't check IDs.
Oh, okay. They don't check IDs. Got it. I'm now being accosted by a pack of screaming girls.
Oh, my God. Really?
Oh,
my God. That's
great. Yeah, that sounds interesting. I think that kind of stuff is definitely needed, especially geared towards that demographic. So
right,
it'll be interesting to talk to him.
Right, because those people are the ones that are getting infected the most under the age of 25.
Right.
And it's important. I read, I was checking out some things that he has on the website with events and things, and he's going to talk about a thing that he just had this weekend, which they called Sinvasion, which he's going to come on and talk about, where the Sin guys came and I think hung out with them in D.C. for a weekend.
Is there a Sin chapter in D.C., or do you know that offhand?
I spoke with Sean today. He said there is not a Sin chapter, and they're not going to put one there because they consider the D.C. Young Pod Social as like a sister group.
Right, right.
Or a brother group, so they're not going to, you know... They're doing the work there, so there's no reason for Sin to move there, they said, I think.
No, that makes sense. I think that's good.
Right, because it's all about helping each other, and I think it's great.
Of course.
Here, let's see here. I have Sean on the line. Sean Henderson, welcome to PosIM Radio.
Thank you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good.
John or Robert?
How I was reading a little bit about your bio. How large is the group now?
We have over 700 members online.
Excellent.
Over 700. Now, Jack, you actually met Sean before. Or took
oh,
a picture with Sean. Because Sean sent me a picture, and I didn't send it to Jack because the picture was really big, so I wasn't able to forward it without it taking forever. But I have the picture, and Sean can always send it to you, but he sent me a picture of the two of you.
Where did we meet?
You were standing in Halo one night here in D.C., and my partner and I were standing across from you trying to figure out if that was you or not, and then you finally acknowledged that we were staring at you. And
I think I remember that.
Yeah, I walked over and snapped a picture with my phone.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, and let me know if the horns, and I was telling Robert earlier, I don't know if you were listening, that I'm outside on the street because I'm in Chicago for an event, and, like, I'm trying to squeeze this in. So if the horns get really obnoxious, just tell me and I'll – and I might have to, like, leave at any moment. They might tell me to get the hell off the phone, so.
So, Sean, tell us a little bit about your story, when you were diagnosed and how you dealt with, you know, being diagnosed with HIV at a young age and then to where you are now.
Well, I was diagnosed in 2003. And it was very unexpected. I had always gone for, you know, my 6-month checkup and blood work to be tested, but didn't really have any, or didn't think I had any reason to be concerned. And the relationship that I had with my doctor was really great. I would call up and, you know, get the test results. And on this particular time, I called him up and I was at work and he told me over the phone that they came back positive. So
over the phone?
Over the phone, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, which, again, it was, you know, I definitely would not condemn that on normal grounds, but the relationship that I had with my doctor, it was fine.
Okay.
So I went into his office the next day, and, of course, you know, went through weeks and weeks of shell shock and just disbelief and, you know, the normal things I think we all go through when we're diagnosed as HIV positive. But eventually found some couple friends that were positive, and we were sitting around talking one night and realized that a lot of our other friends in the same age bracket were being diagnosed, and we decided that we needed a support group larger than just us. So that's how the DC Young Pod Social came about.
And who actually founded it?
Was
a mixture of
his name is I can't disclose.
Okay, that's fine.
Yep, but he a friend of mine, and he has since moved down to Florida.
And you kind of took it over.
Correct, yeah. When he was going to move, he asked me to take over the reins, and I said, sure, why not? Can't be that hard.
And what year were you diagnosed again?
2003.
Okay, and you took over the social group, what, 2004?
2004, right.
So within a year, you kind of got yourself situated to where you wanted to do something good with it instead of sitting bloating it.
Right, exactly. And again, a lot of that, a lot of my ability to overcome the anxiety and the fear and everything like that was because of the relationships I had through the people I had met in the group. I think without that support, that peer support, it would have been a lot more difficult, if not impossible.
Right. No, I think that's a really important point to make because, you know, people can share information, would share life experiences, the kind of stuff that we're actually doing now. And, you know, every time you hear someone else's story, you relate to it or you glean something from it or you learn something. So I think that's amazing that within a year you were able to be proactive as opposed to, you know, sitting and being depressed. That's great.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I I think it's a background of having a good family support, which came a little bit later, and that was on my part. I didn't tell them right away. But once I did, it was pretty amazing, the support that I got from my family. And you know, like I said, it's just the support that I would get from my friends made it possible to get through it all. And even today, I mean, we have, you know, it's amazing to me. One of my favorite parts about our group is when you're at a house party, and our house parties are very laid back, and, you know, they're not specific to, well, let me put it this way. If you walk into our house party, you would never know that it was an HIV positive group because it's just a regular house party.
Right.
And so even, you know, it's amazing to me, like I said, my favorite part about it, these house parties, is when someone young comes in and, you know, they're just diagnosed like a week or two, and you see them in the corner break down and start crying because they didn't think that there were this many people in their area who were HIV positive, and they didn't think that they'd ever be able to be social again. And then a circle of guys gather around him and you know, console him and help him through it. And then 5 minutes later, they're all dancing and laughing and having a good time.
Right.
And that's what we're going out.
No, I think that's amazing because one of the things that I keep hearing over and over, especially for young, newly diagnosed people, is, you know, dating is a huge issue unless you've, like, you know, been doing it for a while. It's
right.
Like, you know, people feel a lot of shame. They don't know when to disclose. They don't think other people are positive. They don't know there's a whole community out there that's a big support system. So that's great.
Exactly. Yeah, and we still, you know, in society, we still carry this. I mean, especially in the gay community, even today, there's this huge stigma placed on people who are HIV positive. And there's still a great fear for people to come out as HIV positive, especially in the D.C. area where everything's so political and everyone's tied to the government in some way. So it's very difficult for the POS community to be out and visible as much as, you know, we probably should be because society has not changed their attitude towards us.
Right.
How often do you get new members or people that come in? Do you get, like, an abundance a week? Like, do you keep count of how many new members you're getting?
Hello?
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 Am I
still
you.
Here? Okay.
You're here.
Yeah. Okay. It's they trickle in. After the Post story ran about, what, three years ago now, we had a huge influx, of course. But now it's about, I would say, five maybe a week.
Now you're talking about the article that was on the Washington Post?
Correct.
Right. I checked. I was actually reading that. It was what was called DC Gay Group Battles AIDS Fatigue.
That's correct, yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that article that you did there? Because I know a lot of it had to do with, it looks like a gentleman by the name of Josh, if I remember correctly.
Uh-huh.
That you were talking
yeah.
About somebody by the name of Josh who was used to going online and going to these sites that, you know, that gay men kind of are forced to go to. They look for hooking up are these real explicit sexual sites like Manhunt and things of that nature.
Right. Yeah, Josh was one of our youngest members, and I think it's probably conducive of our society now is especially people in their 20s and the, you know, the Gen Xers, most of their life seems to be lived online, and you know, so for him it was very difficult to be social face to face.
Right.
Well, I also think that there's an element of that's convenient online because if you are HIV positive, you can disclose that rather anonymously, and then, you know,
right.
if you're going to get rejected, it happens immediately, so you don't have to worry about it, which
oh,
is
yeah.
one of the great things about being in a pause setting where, you know, the majority of people are positive or friends of people or not, it's not an issue for them, then you don't have to worry about that, so.
Right. No, I totally agree. I think it's amazing. You know, there was a time when I was single and online, and my profile would always say, ask me, you know, about my status. And the number of people who, you know, would get freaked out when I tell them that I'm positive, and they're like, oh, I don't sleep with positive guys, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, keep telling yourself that, because I know for a fact that there's, you know, X number of people on this site who are positive and have, you know, negative checked on their profile.
Right.
And I think it's a thing of, I hate to bring back an old song, but, you know, what you don't know won't hurt you type thing. If it seems like in the gay community, especially if they don't know about it, about you being positive, then they're okay with it. But the minute they find out, then their reality hits them.
Well, yeah, and anyone who's using someone else's honesty as a gauge
right.
for protecting themselves is
right.
ridiculous. Like,
I totally agree.
You know, people lie for various reasons, and
right.
yeah, that's ludicrous.
Yeah, it's, you know, how it you're right. It's so easy to check off, you know, positive or negative, but in the same, you know, on the person on the other end, you know, it's unbelievable to me that they're going to go what someone checks off on a profile online as truth, as opposed
well,
to
and,
protecting.
And even beyond that, it's like, even if someone is being truthful, so let's say they got texted, there's still that window period. You know,
right,
there's lots of different variables that you don't, I mean, at the end of the day, the only way that you can absolutely protect yourself is by protecting yourself. Like, no other information that anyone gives you is going to make a difference.
I totally agree. It's you're right. I mean, it's, yeah, it's kind of weird how we react to things without thinking sometimes.
Though I think it's great that we're talking about this, but it's also important to encourage positive people to be honest about it, because the more
right.
that we're open about it, and the more that we're honest about it, and the more we'll readily say, instead of saying, ask me, you just put it out there, and, you know, I mean, I just think the easier it will be for the next generation of people to do the same and not be ashamed of it, you know?
Right, I agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
Well, I think us being truthful with it, you know, whether it be in a profile or anywhere in our life, just being truthful about it breaks down the stigma, because by us denying it and hiding it, it kind of allows people to put that wall up in front of us.
Right. And there's a lot of times, too, where, you know, you know, maybe everyone's in a different position or a different point in their life where they're comfortable with it within themselves. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult, you know, it's not a black or white thing. So, like today, you know, Robert had posted on Facebook my picture with the ad and everything, and there's just people in my life that, you know, maybe from high school or whatever, that don't know about my status, and it's not that I'm ashamed or, you know, don't want them to know, it's just that knowing them, there's a time and a place to tell them. And so for me, it just was more comfortable not to have that on my profile.
Right.
Right. That's an example of how pervasive the stigma is. I mean, I've obviously been really out about my status forever, but still, sometimes when I'm in certain situations, you think twice about
right.
which is unfortunate. You would never think twice about saying, oh, by the way, I'm diabetic, or by the way, I have asthma, or, you know, but it's,
right,
just,
exactly.
it's so bizarre. Like, that's how pervasive the stigma is in our society, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm out, you know, at a bar or whatever, and someone's like, oh, I saw you in the post and didn't know you were positive. Yep, sure am.
Right.
You know, and...
Right.
So, yeah, it's all about the timing and, you know, who you're talking to. And you have the same token, I don't need to, you know, go up to my boss at work and let them know that I'm positive. And if it comes up in conversation, then, you know, sure, I'll tell them. But
so how can someone... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
So how can someone get involved with your organization? Like, do you have a website? Like,
we do. It's www.dcyngposesocials.com, or you can find us on Yahoo under DC Young Pause Socials, or if you just type in DC plus HIV or any various combination thereof, you can find us. We're on Yahoo primarily. That's where all of our messages go and our calendar is and all of our events are posted. I mean, obviously, you know, we post some things on our website, but especially with house parties, you know, we can't post addresses and stuff like that.
Right.
Publicly.
So publicly,
so
right.
What is given, like, what's an event like? Like, give a description of a sort of a typical event that you would host.
Well, like I said, we've done quite a few different various types of events. Primarily, we do house parties. We'll have like a game night or a movie night, or just a regular, you know, Saturday night party where one of our members opens up his home and everyone brings a beverage of their choice, and it's like a regular house party. It's basically just a time, you know, to socialize and get to know people that's not in the bar setting.
Right. Now, do you guys sit down like in a group and like and discuss issues about being positive and things of that nature, or do you just kind of just hang out and make it comfortable?
Yep, just hang out and make it comfortable. Like I said, if you were to walk into one of our parties, it would be like, you know, any other house party that you would attend. Music playing, people drinking and laughing and having a good time. And we've tried doing a few, like, serious sessions where we've had people from NIH come in, and when Jose Vargas was doing the story for the Post, the whole expose on AIDS and HIV in D.C., he came in and we did like a sit-down discussion type. And it went over well, but it was, you know, not as attended, as well as attended as some of our other parties. Because I think, again, it goes back to people just being afraid, well, with that situation, being afraid to be interviewed by a reporter. And, you know, on the same token, it takes time for people to open up and express their inner world to
right.
a bunch of strangers, you know. So, if you know, we decided that, you know, it's best to just have a house party, and people form, you know, friendships through that, and then from there they expound, and it's the best way to do it. And then a couple weeks down the road, someone may decide that they want to go to the National Portrait Gallery, and so they post something on the group site, and all of a sudden there's, you know, 20 guys showing up at the National Portrait Gallery to go just to hang out on a Saturday afternoon.
Cool.
I think that's the best part about it, is because I remember when I was newly diagnosed, and there probably in 2001 there may have been a SIN chapter in Philadelphia, but I didn't live in the city. You know what I mean? So it was very hard for me to find support of that nature in groups of things. So I, of course, fell into the soccer that I, you know, fell back on to find support. But it's so good that groups like yours exist, because it gets people out of their house, gets them out of their head, you know what I mean, because they constantly
right.
are thinking bad things about it. And it allows them, just even if it's 2 hours at a house party, just to forget about it and just have fun.
Right. I think that you know, like I said, one of the best things about it is, you know, like you said, there's just 2 hours that, especially for someone newly diagnosed, that they come back into this sense of normalcy, as it were, where HIV is not the main topic. And it's, wow, I really can live a normal life with this, just like the other 50 people. So, and then, you know, we've done, for a while there, we were doing annual whitewater rafting trips and camping trips. We've gone skiing before. So it's a wide array of activities that we do.
Well, you just had an event come up this past weekend called Sinvasion. You want to tell us a little bit about what that was all about?
We did. That was started by one of Sin's members, Michael, up in New York. He decided that it would be a good idea, and rightly so, that all the New York people would come down and visit D.C. boys. And so this guy was amazing. He did all of the arrangements for the hotels for everybody, did all of his background work on restaurants and bars, and was just, you know, basically like a travel agent for the Sin chapter up in New York. And they all came down, and all weekend long, he had events planned. They had a meet and greet at one of the local bars here at Cobalt. Then they all went to dinner, and then Saturday was a bunch of sightseeing events. And Saturday night, same thing. They did a bar night and then dinner. And then everyone went out to one of the DC's known for, we have one stripper club where the guys are completely naked, and then downstairs is a drag show. So that's pretty unique to DC.
I would come to that.
Right, exactly. I think it's pretty unique to the country, even. Vegas might be the only other place where they allow complete nudity for guys. I'm not sure, though. But it was a good time. About 50 guys, I think, came down from New York and were able to interact with a lot of our members from D.C. and then one of our other moderators was able to attend a lot of the events. I wasn't able to attend all of them because of my schedule, but it was really good. It was great. It was a good time.
Typically, how many events do you have like per month?
Again, it's I would say on a given month, without any spur of the moment planning, 2 to 3. We have a lot of our guys go to the Green Lantern for shirtless night on Thursday nights. And so that's a time for someone to come out and at least meet some other members. A very large number of us go to JR's on Sundays for $2 vodka drinks. And so that's another time for someone to come out and meet people. And then generally what happens is, you know, I post my number out there and someone can text me to try and find out where we're at, and then I'll introduce them to people I know. And then from there, just, you know, kind of snowballs into how friendships usually form.
Right.
So.
Do you feel that you get more people coming to, like, the smaller house parties and things of that nature than actually going out to the club because it is the club or the bar?
I would say it's kind of even. Obviously, with, you know, younger guys, especially in their, you know, 20s and early 30s or late 20s, they're going to be more prone to the bar scene. And then once they get to know people, then they'll come to a house party. Whereas a lot of our older guys, mid-30s to we have up to mid-50s, the house party is going to be more their speed and their style. And then it depends on where it is and, you know, who everyone knows. Our game nights are usually pretty popular because I think that's something that, you know, doesn't get done a lot anymore is, you know, just sitting around and playing games. I know, it's a great way to get to know people. I remember a couple of game nights that I've had at my house where we were still playing at 4 a.m. And
what kind of games were these?
Regular board games that you can buy at Target.
Okay, like, just checking.
Like Cranium.
Yeah, like Cranium. And then, you know, we did charades one night where everyone put in their a name of a person living or dead into the hat, and we had to act it out. Some interesting names came up. So if you're not up on current gay porn, you probably wouldn't have done so well on some of the names. But it was just, you know, there's nights like that that are just, you know, really fun and totally offbeat. And, you know, not everyone's going to be comfortable with that, especially if they don't know anybody. But
right.
Typically, you know, we've had a couple of people who have walked in and didn't know a soul, but they like playing board games. So they figured, why not? And, you know, long and behold, they made several friends and had a great time. So
I think a lot of times in any of these organizations, like your organization or SIN, there's always a leap of faith that you have to take. I mean,
right.
Even if you were going into a situation where you don't know people and it has nothing to do with HIV, like, you're still a little bit nervous meeting new people.
Oh, right, exactly.
So, I mean, I'm assuming, like, I know with SIN, I've never been to one of your events, but they're super welcoming, and they're just happy to support you. So it's a really great support system.
Right. I think, you know, you hit it right on the head. It's, you know, one of the, I think on the very basic level of all of these groups, SIN and us and other groups around the world now, is, you know, dealing with HIV is hard enough, and making new friends is very difficult. So if we remove that one layer of difficulty and, you know, throw someone into a room, you're still back at the basic level of trying to make friends and everything. But you don't have to worry about the HIV thing. You know, you don't have to worry about, oh, well, what is this person going to do when I tell them that I'm positive? You know, especially if a romance thing starts happening. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It's all back down to almost even playing field, as it were.
Well, I think, and actually, I mean, you have something in common. So it kind of, it instigates a friendship, hopefully, or some sort of relationship, even if you don't know anyone.
Yeah. So, I mean, if nothing else, you have that to talk about, so.
Which is always super fun.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the, if you have someone who's, let's say, socially inept, I think probably the worst way to start a conversation is, so, what meds are you on? Or, when did you find out you were positive? You know, so, especially, you know, you don't know the person, and I've seen it happen where, you know, someone walked up to someone else and said, ask them, what, you know, how long they've been positive. And the poor kid broke down in, like, a week.
Oh, no.
And so, right, so immediately, you know, a couple of us jumped in and, you know, rescued that conversation. But, yeah, you know, it's always interesting. It's funny to sit back and just people watch on every level, so.
Well, congrats to whoever that was for coming to a party after a week.
Right? Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Well,
so,
just real quick, I want to put a reminder out to the people in the chat room. If you're interested in calling in or you have a question for Sean, you can either put it in the chat room or give us a call at 347-215-9442 or use Skype and click the talk button. We would love to hear from you. If you're a member of DC Young Pod Socials, give us some feedback. Tell us what you think of Sean. Sean, I think you do an amazing job. I know it's got to be tough to do that because you do it part-time, right?
I do. And, of course, I'm not alone. I've got, you know, we have two other moderators in the group, thank God. And also, it's, you know, it's a member-run group. So, I mean, a lot of this is not done just because of the moderators either. It takes it takes the community to make the group work, so. And I think that's what it's all about, too, is you know, taking ownership of the group. You know, we tell people all the time, it's you know, if there's something that you like to do, if you like to go to the museums or go bike riding out of Great Falls, then just post something. And inevitably, you know, with 700 people over, there's going to be at least one or two that are interested in that.
Yeah.
Cool. And do you have, like a Yahoo newsletter thing that goes out to your whole entire group? Like, is that how it works?
Well, yeah, the way the Yahoo groups work is it's basically a listserv, so people will post messages, and then that goes out to the whole entire group.
How would someone join that?
They can join that simply by going to our website, and then on the left-hand side, they'll see a link for join the Yahoo group.
Okay. Say the website again.
It's www.dcyngpozsocials.com, and socials with an S. Or you can just Google DC Young Paws Socials and actually spell it out, and it'll come up that way. Or if you want to go to Yahoo, you can do a search in Yahoo groups for us as well. And it's easy, it's free, and you know, especially if you're newly diagnosed, if you have any questions, there's tons of information on our website, and maybe you have a specific question about meds or something like that. And the Yahoo group, the people in the Yahoo group are amazing. If you post a question with anything, you're going to receive at least 20 replies from the plethora of experience that we have in our group membership.
No, I think that's a really great point, just because I belong to a couple Yahoo groups that have information as well, and here in New York and more national, really. But even if you're not really interested in going to socials or whatever, it's just a cornucopia of information. Like, you have a concern, you're depressed, whatever, you just send out an email, and, like, immediately there's a whole network of people that can reach out to you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, our guys, and we have, you know, quite a large number of members that don't live in D.C. necessarily, but they travel to D.C. every now and then, so they stay members of the group and stay abreast of what's going on, and, you know, like you said, it's a great way of, to get information about anything.
Yeah, and people, I mean, literally, people ask about anything. People ask about medication, like, weird side effects that they may be having, you know, steroids, like all sorts of things, and people are willing to talk basically about anything because you're sort of anonymous, which is
right.
Which is,
right, exactly. You know. So, and then, you know, when you join, we have it set up so that you receive a couple of different emails. One of them is a list of doctors and dentists in the DC area who are all member recommended.
I got that today.
Oh, did you? Cool.
Yeah.
And then we also, you know, you have access to our calendar, which lists all of our events. And the best thing about it is, you know, if you post something on the message board with a question, or if you wanted to do an event, then it usually goes out within the hour, if not less.
Cool.
And that goes out to everybody, right, who's a member of the group, so you get those responses, like you were saying, almost immediate if somebody's interested.
Correct. And then you can also, you know, set up your profile so that, you know, if you don't want all those emails, you can have it broken down into what Yahoo calls a daily digest, and that way you're not getting every single email. Back in the early days of the group, email accounts would be flooded because every single response would go through, and then we learned pretty quickly that probably best to moderate these. And so now we don't send out every single, you know, sometimes someone will reply to someone to the group as opposed to replying to them personally.
Right.
And sometimes that's, you know, sometimes, you know, that message should go out to the group, but then sometimes, you know, there might be a lot of personal information involved in that.
Right.
So we, you know, just refer them and ask them to send the message specifically to the person it was intended to, and that way it keeps everyone's email box, you know, kind of manageable and everything, so.
Yeah, I suggest the digest form of everything so you're not getting like 30 emails a day.
Right.
Yeah, that's one of the problems that I have with PosIM is people don't realize that they can change their email settings so they don't get all those emails.
Right, exactly. You can change it and to that setting and then go online, you know, when you're able to and look at all of the messages.
Right.
So
I hate flooded email boxes. But you do a bunch of different, like, trips, because I know you guys set up trips to, like, Atlantic City and to New York. You go to Disney Gay Days, don't you?
As a group, yeah. I mean, that's one of those, especially Disney Gay Days, is one of those things where a lot of our members go, and so they'll post something on the Yahoo group and to find out who else is going, and then that kind of forms like a little group of people that are going. So it's not really, I would say, you know, quote unquote, an official event. But yeah, we have had a large number of guys that do that. So some of our bigger, you know, out of town events are, you know, as would be expected, take a lot of planning and time and, so not everyone is up to that all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. You know, especially with money and finances.
Right. Yeah, especially in today's economy.
Now, another thing that I see that's on your website is you also have an online store.
Yeah, we do. It's through
Cafe Press.
Cafe Press, right. So that's, you know, you can go on there and purchase T-shirts or
hats,
cups, all kinds of stuff with our logo on it.
I love the classic thong.
Right.
Because the thing is when I first opened PosIM, I had a site, things of this through Cafe Press, and I shut it down because I wasn't selling any of it.
Right.
But, I've seen all these. They're really, really funny. But it's a great way to help you to advertise your site out more.
It is. I've ordered a couple of shirts. I know a couple of people have ordered shirts, and especially during Pride, we'll wear them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think our logo is not – it's pretty much open to interpretation. And if you're witty and clever, you can make it say anything you want it to say. It doesn't have to be about HIV, you know, for those who are not comfortable with it. So and that's why we wanted – you know, when we were looking – to create a logo was, again, going back to DC being so politically connected, something that someone could show and recognize without
a red ribbon.
Right, exactly, without it necessarily displaying that they were HIV positive, too.
Right.
That's interesting to me. Do you think, I mean, like you mentioned this a couple times, do you think because DC is so like politically involved all the time and you know, it's obviously the capital, and because of that, it is a more conservative climate for HIV-positive people. Do you see that directly?
I think it's just because it's D.C. D.C. tends to be a very conservative town. But, yeah, even more so because of the HIV aspect of it and the connection to politics. I mean, you've been to D.C., and it's nothing like other towns. If you walk down the street and just kind of observe the way most of the guys are dressed in the gay district, it's very middle of the road. There's no extremes really either way. And I think it's just, you know, how D.C. is.
Interesting.
Well, then that makes it even more important for groups like yours to be around.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because of that environment that you're in where people aren't comfortable coming out and, you know, exposing their status to people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, you know, like I said, it was very hard in the beginning to get the word out about the group because, you know, you don't just go on the street corner and hand out palm cards. Hey, Pos Group, want to join? You know. So it was very interesting. And I did, once I took over, is I created some palm cards and have them printed and would just leave them at bars and leave them on the bar, the actual bar area or in the newspaper area, or post them up in the bathrooms. And I think that was a big boost to our membership as well. And then once, you know, the stories came out about us in the Washington Blade and then in the Post, that created even more visibility. So I think, you know, having someone who is visible and able to be visible is very important to the survival of any kind of grassroots group like ours. Otherwise, it just remains kind of an underground, you know, word of mouth only type thing.
Yeah, I mean,
which is not to say that, you know, word of mouth is also, you know, very important, but, you know, it's not the only way.
How long ago were those articles published?
The Washington Post, I want to say 2004.
Oh, so you're like way overdue for another big publicity biz.
Oh, right, exactly.
Yeah, we got to get like one of the big magazines like Cause or HIV Plus or something to do a story on you. So
that would be great.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see what I have here. I'm sorry. Hold on one second.
No problem.
As I'm looking, because I have papers everywhere and going.
I can't wait to see the picture of us at Halo. That's funny. I'm kind of like I'm a diss when it comes to that kind of stuff, so I'm sure as soon as I see the picture, it'll all come back to me.
Right. Yeah, my camera doesn't take very good pictures. I had to kind of touch it up a bit, but you can still see it.
Just a reminder to people out there listening, you can call in at 347-215-9442. What is this May house you have coming up, this event?
The May house party?
Yes.
That is a coordinated house party with one of our other groups in D.C. called the Hope Foundation. They were the original social group in D.C. They began you know, back in the early days of HIV and AIDS. And we were kind of formed as an alternative to that group, specifically for the younger crowd. And since then, we've kind of conjoined with them, and we hold joint parties and joint socials. And so the May house party is going to be with them and at one of their members' houses. And it should be a good time. They always are. They're always great. So it's a great time to come out and meet people and get a various viewpoints on the membership and just have a good time.
I know you said that you like you put palm cards and stuff at bars. Do you do any other kind of outreach? Like, are you working tandem with any other organizations, anything like that?
We're very well known now, I think, because of that and because of the, you know, the couple of the big articles that ran. The D.C. Health Department knows about us. We're on their website. The Whitman Walker Clinic, one of the, you know, the large health clinic here in D.C., we're very well connected with them, and they refer people to us all the time, and I have a good relationship with just about everyone that works there. To say that we're actively involved in other organizations, not really. We're kind of like a silent partner, I guess, with all of the other activist groups in the city, which I think is fine because, you know, there's so many opportunities, again, being in D.C., to get involved on an activist level or a political level. And sometimes you just got to have a night off of that and have fun.
Well, and I think, you know, you are an activist. Like, that just because you're not an ACT UP or not specifically linked to a political group, you're fighting the stigma every day. Like, you're out there, you're visible, people know about the organization, and that's doing your part. It is activism.
That's a good point. I never looked at it that way, I guess.
Everybody does their part, whether it's, you know, one or another. Every little part's important, you know what I mean? And what you do is so important because think of if you didn't create that group, how many people would be lost right now in D.C. looking for people they could relate to?
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have to sometimes pat yourself on the back.
Pardon me?
I said sometimes you got to pat yourself on the back.
Well, that's true, yeah.
It feels good sometimes.
It does. You're right.
Or let someone else do it for you.
Pardon me?
Or let someone else do it for you. That feels good as well.
Right. I mean, that's more my speed. I don't know why. It's just how I am. I don't, like I said, it's hard for me to take credit because there are so many people involved in the group. And it's not just me. And it takes a village, as it says, you know, to make a community. So without the support and the participation of everyone, I think it would be kind of pointless on some level.
You know, well, you can take credit, but so can everyone. I mean, someone who goes, that kid who went the first week, he found out he was positive, and, I mean, he can take credit for being a part of it at all. So
right.
I think everyone who participates deserves, you know, kudos.
Exactly. That's, you know, that's why I said it's yeah, there you go.
Well, so one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is because, like you, I have the same, you know, I'm in a relationship that I've been in for about 4 years, and my partner is negative and I'm positive.
Uh-huh.
Do you find it really difficult to be in a relationship with somebody who is negative? Because a lot of people ask me, like, I can never date somebody who's negative now that I'm positive. Do you find that it's more difficult? I mean, did you only date him since you were positive, or?
No, I've definitely dated other people. I think on some level, yeah, of course it's difficult, but if there's communication, and this goes within a relationship
mm-hmm.
as well, if there's good communication and a good relationship there, then the HIV thing is, or, you know, in a way, it is a non-issue. are there certain things we, you know, shouldn't be doing? Sure. Are there certain things that, you know, a positive and negative relationship, you know, can and can't do? Of course. But on the same token, even if you're in a relationship, I think that precautions still need to be taken, especially if you're in an open relationship, even more so.
Well, and once again, we get back to what someone tells you, even if you're in a supposedly trusting, honest relationship,
right.
It doesn't necessarily always pan out to be the truth. So.
Right. And, you know, we're men, we're gay men, and, you know, the chances of something happening are, you know, pretty high. I'm not going to say that everyone who's gay is out there fooling around with their boyfriend, but it does happen. And so I think, you know, even though we've been with somebody for X amount of time, it all goes back to communication and trust and you know, the basic stuff that comprises a good relationship. So, and it still is on everyone's responsibility to protect themselves. So,
right. And I think it's important that you say that because it's just like any kind of relationship. People think that it's going to be so much different now and so much harder to have a relationship now that they're positive. And people, you know, who, like you, who are sharing your story, who's in a relationship, it just gives people hope. And that's, you know, the reason we do this, to offer people hope that they can find love again.
Right, exactly. And it doesn't have to be with someone who's positive. Now, like you said, I know guys who will only date other HA positive guys. But that doesn't always mean that just because both parties are positive that it's going to be the perfect relationship, because you still have all the other things to worry about.
Right.
Well, and I'm also assuming that anyone can come to your events. It's not like, you know, HIV positive exclusive. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. We don't, you know, we don't make them produce their
paperwork
results right at the door. But we do make it known that if, you know, if some of our members bring friends who are negative, we expect them to be.
Cool,
and you know, there's been a couple times where negative people have come and they've been hit on by some of the guys, like, oh no, I'm negative. Well, that's not cool.
right.
You know, so you know, not saying that you have to, you know, go on a date with someone who's positive, but you have to at least, you know, let them feel comfortable as well. So.
Right. That's a good point.
Well, one of the questions in the chat room asked, real quick, because we are almost done, but John from UK asked, you don't have to live in D.C. to join your group, right?
You don't, no. If, like I said a little while ago, we have a large number of people who travel to D.C. Often, or, you know, come once a year, and so they would just kind of want to stay abreast of what's going on. Yeah, by all means, you don't have to be a D.C. resident to join the group. I think it would be great if we have people in other countries joining, because a lot of our members travel as well for pleasure or for business, and you know, it might be kind of cool to say, hey, I'm coming to the U.K. on such and such date. Are you going to be around? And, you know, that's one other person that you know in this city, so.
Right.
Which
one, I want to thank you.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, good. What were you going to say, Jack? Go ahead.
I was just going to say who, you know, sometimes when you are HIV positive, you have special needs, and they may have great resources, so it's just another,
right,
another way of reaching out.
Exactly.
All right, Sean, well, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. And just real quick so people know, you can find out more about the DC Young Paws Socials at www.dcyngpawssocials.com. And it's Paws with a Z.
There you go.
I'll put that up in the chat room. And, Sean, you have a great day. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you. I appreciate all you're doing as well. And, Jack, good luck with everything. And I will talk to you guys later.
And I want to see my picture soon, so.
I just posted it on my profile, so.
Oh, God. Okay.
Bye, Sean.
Have a good one.
Yeah, he's a great guy. We're about, like, 90 seconds left. Jack, what else? Do you want to spit out your stuff real quick for your events in Chicago?
Yeah,
and what you're doing?
Well, the event in Chicago, it's through Living Positive by Design. And you can go to livingpositiveidesign.com and check it out. I don't have the paperwork in front of me, but the event is tonight, and it's called Making a Difference, Design for the Cure. Is that correct? But, yeah, you can Google it, and, but, yeah, that's it. And then you can always check out my website, jackmcinross.com, but I think it's posted on the website. livingpositivebydesign.com. So
there
I'm glad
going.
I got to call in because I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm glad you could call in too. So we'll talk
there
about
for a minute.
Next week will be your first solo week, so, or your week doing the switchboard.
I know. That'll be
you
a
nervous.
Hot
You'll be fine.
No,
I'll be right there.
I don't get nervous. I'll just like you'll just hear dead air silence. So no problem.
All right. Well, then I just want to remind everybody that this Sunday, the 10th, we're going to have Richard Berkowitz on, and then next Thursday, Eric Brin from Healing Waters will actually be joining me and Jack.
Next Wednesday.
You can, yes, Wednesday. Did I say Sunday?
You said Thursday, but that's okay.
Next Wednesday, you can learn about Healing Waters with us. And you can also join us on the Paws I Am community at www.pawsiam.com. And you can follow us on Twitter. I'm sure they're in there. Jack, you enjoy the rest of your trip and have fun.
All right. All right, man. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks.